Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Football in H-Town is on the rise.
I love D'Amico Ryans, man. I tell you what.
H-Town, I'm back.
Our guy, B. Scott, has all the latest from the gridiron.
I don't see no bitches nowhere around here.
It's time for your weekly Texans report.
You ain't laying down for nobody.
On The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, it is 4:40. Our guy, Brandon Scott, is in with his Texans report, and to hell with the with any kind of chit chat. Let's get into this thing, man. A lot surrounding the Texans right now. The biggest thing is obviously we're coming off this time yesterday the news breaking of C.J. Gardner-Johnson being released by this team. When you see this from every aspect in your mind, are you thinking, okay, this could be a good thing and a turning point for the Texans?
No. No, I do not. Like, it could be some kind of turning point. And so, okay, let me re-answer that question. Technically, yes, but significantly, like, think about it. For me, the last couple of days now with the C.J. Gardner-Johnson news has kind of taken us off the scent of a lot of, maybe not us here at the radio station, but it has taken the focus off of a lot of the real issues or some of the other real issues that came up in not only this game, but have come up over the first 3 weeks of the season. Now, C.J. Gardner-Johnson has clearly been his own issue, and like the coverage issues that come up in.
Yeah, he's cost them the games, according to sources.
Well, he's certainly cost them some plays, and you could say that they've cost them the game, but we've watched the games, right? Like, what cost them the game more? C.J. Gardner-Johnson taking the wrong assignment on that Brian Thomas Jr. play, or Ariante Ursary just being unfit for the role. And then on the coaching side, as y'all talked about plenty throughout the first few days of the week, the refusal to give him any kind of consistent help, especially once it's not like the game gets to the end and now he can't hold up, he's tired, or it's starting to catch up with him. It's from said go. And that's a lot of the same stuff that we saw last year of like, hey, here's an issue that's being identified early on in the game. Ariante Ursary can't block Josh Hines Allen by himself early on in the game. We're able to identify that. Let's do something about it. Reminds me of last year. We got tight ends blocking Jonathan Greenard. Identified that early on in the game was something that you can't do. Just can't do it. And they continued to do it, or at least did it again. So that's the part that I don't understand. I think they got way bigger issues than just one rogue safety, if you will.
Imagine how good this defense could have been if he just wasn't going rogue.
No, yeah, no, if you just take him out and have MJ Stewart out there, who is known as a great communicator and is going to be in the right place at the right time, and is this consummate professional. Sure, that would have been a difference, right?
Sure, strange that you don't take a guy out of the game. They keep screwing things up on purpose.
No, this is a bigger deal. They got protection issues. They got play. They got design issues. They got explosive issues. They got route running and concept issues. It's a problem over there on Kirby.
Where do you strictly on the C.J. Gardner-Johnson stuff? I agree wholeheartedly with every opinion you have on him being gone. But what about the football side of it?
Yeah.
You mentioned the fill in there, but what's your thought on the field? What's this look like moving forward?
Well, so it's going to be MJ Stewart until we figure out exactly where Jimmy Ward is health wise, which I don't have a great answer for that question. Obviously, Jimmy Ward was dealing with his off the field issue, that seems to have at least been resolved enough for him to be off the commissioner's list. But I don't know where he is health-wise, where he is training-wise, where he, like, how fit is he at this point? So it's going to be MJ Stewart at least coming up in his, into this week, and I think next week we'll start to get some insight into how close or the lack thereof closeness that Jimmy Ward has in this whole thing.
Yeah, we'll see, because D'Amico said he was asked, you think we'll be a better team? You think you're a better team today than you were the day than yesterday? He said, we'll see. We'll see Sunday. We'll see on the field Sunday. Well, odds are they're off. Their defense will take a hit Sunday without C.J. Gardner-Johnson, even with him, according to team sources, going rogue during games. But offensively, they're going to have the same cast. And they're currently, as we can talk all about, they can talk all about the Gardner-Johnson stuff. They are dead last in points, dead last on third down, dead last in a lot of major or offensive categories. Do you expect to maybe see some change and growth with what we've been seeing, the product we've been seeing out there, coming up against a team they should probably be able to do some things against?
I want to say yes, but if I'm being honest, what would I be basing that off of? Like, what? If you're going to be optimistic and say, hey, you know, they're going to figure it out, there's growth, they're like, I don't have anything that I can really point to and say, hey, they got better week to week in this area significantly. Maybe along the margins here and there, you can point to some things. I know CJ Stroud tried to talk after the game about running the ball decent. I don't feel like they ran the ball great. I thought they ran the ball decent very early in the game, but as the game went on, they didn't really run it that well either. So no, I don't really have a whole lot of optimism. The only thing that I feel like Texans fans can hang their hat on is the fact that the Titans are at least as bad as you are and possibly worse. Like the way a lot of people were looking at the Jaguars going into that week, like, oh, they can't lose to Jacksonville on the road. They never do. They can't fall to 0-3 because that's just not an option.
Yeah.
Clearly it was. Now this, I think, is more so along those lines of like, well, losing to the Titans at home, it's a worse outfit than your own. Yeah. That's going to be a touch. So the offense can look better just by way of the opponent, but they got a lot of stuff to figure out.
So how do you, I mean, it doesn't seem like you're real confident even this week against the Titans.
I'm less confident in the Titans, right? Like, it's a pillow fight. It's the race for the tallest short person, right? And I think that the Texans just happen to be the tallest short person in this sort of equation and comparison there. But my feeling that the Texans are going to win this week has far less to do with them and their own operation and what they got going on, and much to do with how the schedule falls and it just being a fortunate get right situation for them.
You've covered this team since D'Amico's been here, since CJ's been here. Do you still have belief that D'Amico Ryans can figure this thing out, and the faith that he can lead this organization the way he has been, is that still there for you?
Yeah, so I still believe in D'Amico in a vacuum, but I got serious questions about this other part, which does fall under D'Amico. Okay. Like, D'Amico the leader, D'Amico the overall leader, D'Amico the defensive play caller. I still believe in all of that, but D'Amico, and I would put Nick Caserio into this mix because I don't think it's D'Amico operating alone. I would even do the trio of the organizational trio of Caserio, Ryans, and Stroud, right? Like as a collective, I'm not sure that they've got this offensive thing figured out. Right now, I would say that they absolutely don't. And what is the road and path to success that they take? Not even one step forward, three steps back, but they just flat out take a clear step back and downgrade at offensive coordinator. It's certainly looking like that's possible. And to that end, I would say I got far less confidence in them figuring that part out, figuring out the offensive side of the ball, drafting offensive linemen that they can rely on. Like, I've talked about this on this show before. You've got back-to-back years where they drafted an offensive lineman in the second round, and here we are in the third year of that, and all three of them are either not ready or unplayable. right? In the case of Drew Scruggs, he can't even get on the field as the backup right guard.
He's in a rotation.
Now he's in a rotation at left guard because that's like somehow your worst offensive lineman. And so now you're putting him in there. Blake Fisher, a healthy scratch from what I could tell last week. And then, of course, Arianse Urcery has the most leeway because he gets the most rope because he's a rookie. But we've seen what that looks like as well.
And Kenyon Green is not in the league.
Yeah, and that's going even further back, but that's a Casario thing.
Yeah.
Well, what do you – I mean, have you seen enough from this – we had a conversation a little earlier about ultimately the offense and what it needs to look like moving forward. Are you – do you think they just process over results and they stay the course with this Nick Caley, you know, project, or do they shift gears and go a little more spread like D'Amico was talking about and tempo and let him do what he does well? Do you think they shift gears a little bit, or you think they just stay status quo?
So I don't know how they don't shift gears and do a little bit more spread and go a little bit more up-tempo just based off of, and you watch the film, Clint, and obviously they do as well. I don't know how they can watch it and not see a clear difference, a clear and obvious difference. You were talking about this earlier in the hour about how he clearly processes differently, he being C.J. Stroud,
yeah,
depending on what the formation and what the situation is. And so I don't see how they don't see that and how they don't lean into that. I'd also say, if I was going to lean into some kind of optimism for the offense, it was Christian Kirk's first game. I think that's going to start to look better, and he's going to help them quite a bit. Okay, the rookies as they come along, Higgins, Noel, got to see a lot more Woody Marks in this game. I think those are positives and things that they should lean into. So between that, the development of the rookies, the rookie weapons I'm talking about specifically, and them recognizing and acknowledging where C.J. Stroud is at his best, at least right now, until they figure all the other stuff out, I think that's the only way. I think that's the only way to kind of look at this offense and think, hey, it can get better.
Brandon Scott here with this Texans report. Before we get you out of here, as you cover the Texans and you bring us info, after this week, Joe Mixon's eligible to return. You hearing anything at all about Joe Mixon? Anything in any manner that would lead you to believe that he could potentially be on the practice field next week, that he could be eligible to come back soon? Any word on Joe Mixon at all?
Not a word. This is why he wasn't included in my last little spiel about what to feel optimistic about the offense as far as that goes, because if I could, I'd include that in there. Oh, they're going to get their running back, right? But we haven't seen Joe Mixon. We haven't heard anything about Joe Mixon, at least not anything of substance, I wouldn't say.
He's not going to play again, is he?
I think he'll play again, but trying to pinpoint exactly when that is and when that's going to be is very, very, very difficult. So
that's what it feel like. We had Mike Florio yesterday, said he just gave up. He just gave up in trying.
Well,
to figure things out.
I mean, it's bad enough to where whenever we even press the issue, when we try to talk about it, that in and of itself becomes an issue. Or at least y'all remember how that went the last time, right? When we dare ask about,
I said, I hope he's doing well.
We're talking about their Pro Bowl 1,000-yard rusher.
Yeah.
The guy, not just that, but the guy who was making something out of nothing. It's not like he was running behind the 90s Cowboys offensive line or anything like that, right? He was making the most out of very, very, very little to nothing. And like, I think a guy like that could tremendously help your offense. We haven't heard nothing about him.
No question. I mean, I can't believe they hadn't felt the need just to have an update, not wait and buck a question that comes, just give an update of here's what's going on with Joe.
Yeah. We got to find out whoever that leak was yesterday about them plays.
Detailed breakdown of
CJ. Won't that person leak out the old Joe Mixon news?
Yeah, I'd be curious to ask them the follow-up question. All right, you got all of this. You got all of this information of why y'all got rid of one of your key trade acquisitions over the offseason.
Guy who played 93% of the snaps last game.
Tell me about arguably a top two offensive player. Like, after Nico Collins, that's their best player on offense is Joe Mixon. So just the idea that, A, they would be without him this long, and then, B, we would not have any information. Forget a timetable. Do we even have a serious diagnosis?
No. I got a report today that Jimmy Ward will be be on the practice field going in a couple of weeks. Nothing on Mixon.
Yeah.
Hope he's doing well.
No, so do I. And really for their own sake, for his sake, certainly, but for the Texans' own sake, lack of weapons, lack of offensive identity, you could just hand the ball off to Joe Mixon a time or two.
That'd be nice.